Halfway through the three-week Synod of Bishops on New Evangelization taking place here in the Vatican, there were many key themes that have emerged as essential for the revitalization of the faith in different countries around the world today. Many of these were outlined in a major presentation by the Archbishop of Washington, Cardinal Donald Wuerl, who had the arduous task of summing up the first week and a half of presentations by bishops, lay experts, and ecumenical guests who were invited to share with the Synod Fathers on this crucial topic for all Christian churches and communities. Formation, a solid grounding in the faith, and better training for priests and lay people has been seen as a number one priority, alongside the ability to live out the Christian faith in love and solidarity, in concrete gestures of charity and closeness to all who suffer or seek a sense of meaning in their lives. As the Synod Fathers gathered to mark the 50th anniversary of the opening of the Second Vatican Council last week, participants have also stressed the ecumenical imperative that overcoming the scandals of division is more essential than ever before if we are to be effective witnesses to Christ in our secular world.
I think secularism, secularization is always going to be a challenge because of the context in which we're trying to present the gospel message afresh.
Among those who chose to focus on the importance of ecumenism was the English Archbishop of Birmingham, Bernard Longley, co-chairman of ARCIC III, the Anglican Roman Catholic International Commission.
Philippa, I'm delighted to speak to you into Vatican Radio at this halfway point through the Synod, and I'm grateful to you for asking me about the intervention I made. I think my own conviction is that the Catholic Church now has 50 years or so of experience of ecumenical dialogue. And the fruits of that dialogue, the fruits of the Holy Spirit at work within that dialogue, I think has equipped us to understand the way in which we carry forward the new evangelization, and has given us experience of listening to the way in which our message is received by others. And I think that's one of the themes that's emerging within the Synod, is the sense of wanting to find a language which can enable the message, the same message of our faith, to be clearly expressed, but also to be well received, to be understood.
Particularly by young people today who don't have the same language, the same faith background.
That's exactly right. And I think that we have a responsibility to try and to understand the claims upon the understanding and the interests of young people, but to enable us to present and express the truth of the gospel in a way which is understood. And as we've been reminded, I think, by several Synod Fathers and other speakers during this week, that isn't always a language which is spoken. It's the expression of faith through witnesses, and that's another theme that's come, I think, quite strongly. The authentic witness of a Christian life, living the gospel out of a real relationship of love and discipleship with the Lord Jesus. And that kind of authenticity is something which young people do recognise, and which it speaks to something in their own hearts, that desire, what the Catechism refers to as the desire within each one of us for knowledge and relationship with God. And it's there very strongly in young people who are searching. We have a responsibility. And there's an awareness of that, I think, among the Synod Fathers here in Rome.
Can you bring us any specific examples from your own archdiocese up there in Birmingham, examples of ways in which witness, authentic witness, really have been powerful tools for evangelisation?
Two small examples. Speaking of dialogue, I'm very blessed in being in an archdiocese where there is an established, now for 10 years, and fruitful dialogue among the faith leaders within the city. So we're regularly meeting together, the representatives and the leaders of Muslim, Sikh, Hindu, Buddhist, Jewish communities within Birmingham, as well as, of course, our Christian churches participating. And that's something which I think does appeal to young people within the city, and there's a desire to share something of that dialogue so that the shared values, especially the values which uphold the message of life, and I find that the other faith leaders want to know what the gospel says, the teaching of Jesus Christ and the teaching of the church, especially about the sanctity and the value of life from its very beginning at conception until its natural end. Second example, though, the openness, the readiness of young people. There have been a number of initiatives, and one in particular, the initiative in Birmingham that I'm very happy to refer to as the Second Friday. A group of young people, its increasing number, 80 or 90, met very recently. They meet in our cathedral, St. Chad's. the celebration of Mass, an opportunity for the sacrament of penance and reconciliation, the sharing of a meal together, and then the discussion of a topic. And they're using this year, in fact, the year of faith, each month to reflect on some aspect of the Catechism. So, and the documents of the Second Vatican Council. That's an initiative from young people, which I'm very happy to support, and it's supported by themselves. So, and that gives encouragement to me and to others.
At the start of this synod, we heard about the huge challenge of the tsunami of secularism, faith fatigue, other synod fathers have called it. Do you see that very present in the UK today? Or do you, on the other hand, see perhaps a reawakening of faith amongst the young people, as these examples have been showing?
I think secularism, secularisation is always going to be a challenge because of the context in which we're trying to present the gospel message afresh. But the weariness actually comes from the shallow, the empty promises which are made through different examples of secularisation and the experience of nihilism, of loneliness, of false hopes for the future, all of those things actually awaken in people a real desire for the only thing that can really satisfy them, and that is the knowledge and love of God. So I think secularisation has opened up not only challenges but fresh opportunities for us to bring the gospel of truth.
Finally, what do you hope to be taking back to your archdiocese at the end of this synod? What do you think perhaps have been the most positive things for you personally?
Personally, I think the experience of listening, and there is an intense experience of listening to one another within the synod. And I think that's a good thing for bishops, because usually in parish settings, wherever we go, there is an expectation, quite rightly, that we will have a message to share with others, that we will be speaking. But this has given us a chance to listen, and I think it relates very closely to our understanding as Catholics of obedience, a deep listening to what the Spirit is saying to us through the interventions of one another. And it's given us a space, I think, to understand our own role as bishops, and I found the great encouragement in being alongside brother bishops from all across the world, the perspectives that they bring, but the commonality that we have in sharing in the priesthood of our Lord in this special way, serving our diocese and communities and families.
English Archbishop Bernard Longley.